And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
I can't believe it's Friday afternoon already, can you?
It's like I'm here every other day at the moment. They're just whipping by, aren't they?
I like Fridays. Fridays are a joyful day because you have all the thrill of anticipation, none of the disappointment of reality. You know that you're looking forward to the weekend and you can chill out for a couple of days and you can take things easy for a little while. Unless, of course, you've got a long list of household duties you need to perform, in which case you'll wake up on Saturday morning and go, oh, hang on.
Yeah, I think it just depends on which side of the knife you want to be on.
It's all about perspective, isn't it?
It is, completely.
Here today, we're going to talk about financial matters as we do every Friday. And today's topic is about our superannuation. Now, the great thing about superannuation, of course, is we have some choices. We can choose this fund or that fund and so forth and so on. So how do we judge what is a good superannuation fund?
Yeah, look, this one really has been topical this week. I've had this conversation with so many people. Oh, can you just tell me which one's a good one? And my answer to that is, well, it really depends. And I think what I want to try and get from today is to give people some context around how you can measure that, but more importantly, to confirm and raise that. I use an analogy in my office all the time. A super fund is a lot like a car. Everybody drives a different car for a different reason. And I often say, a mini's never going to pull a horse float. That doesn't mean we don't like minis. My girls are 6 and 8, and heavens forbid we jump forward 10 years and they say, Daddy, can I have a car? I'd buy them a mini, no problems. Great little car. My wife would probably like one as well. But again, why am I buying the mini? I'm not buying it to pull a horse float. That's why tradies drive utes, because they've got a purpose. I need to put heaps of stuff in there so they can charge us the earth to come in and do something at our house that we can't do.
Exactly.
But they have to lug equipment. If you're delivering bread, you might have a van. If you're a rock star, you might have a race car.
Or a touring bus.
Or a touring bus. Either or.
Or both.
And that's what I want people to take from today's conversation. It's impossible for somebody like me or an accountant or anyone else to go, oh, this is a great one, without first asking a number of questions to try and work out, well, what are the things that you want, just like you would with a car. You wouldn't go to a tyre shop, grab a 20-inch wheel, walk down to BMW, for example, drop it on the counter and say, what does this fit on? Nobody buys a car like that. You'd go into any dealership and say, look, I've got young kids. I've got plenty of gear I need to throw in the back. There's me. There's my partner. We've got some baby seats. Okay, well, that two-door sports car is probably not going to work for you right now.
I did a video once explaining why a Lamborghini Gallardo was the perfect family car, but it was tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, it's a great family car because you can't fit your family in it. I totally agree. No argument here. But that's what I want people to take from today. So we're going to talk about, well, what are some questions that I would ask myself or my partner to try and then ascertain the things that are important to you? Because for me, everyone comes in my office and they say, Luke, I've sold my business, I've retired, I've taken a package, I've done A, B, and C, or I've amassed this in super. Can you look after this so I can be retired? And I say, sure. What are the things that are most important to you? And generally speaking, I get a lot of the following answers. I want a good, strong income stream because that's going to pay me a pension and it's going to fund pension payments to fund my life. I'd like a suitable level of risk. I would like to offset inflation or have some growth over time to protect the value of my money. And I want to maximize the use of these things called franking credits in a tax-free pension environment. Now, I take that and you could end up with a personal super fund. You could end up with a self-managed super fund. In very limited instances, you could end up with an industry fund. And people go, well, why don't you like those? Because the person just said to me, I want control over my income. Don't get that in an industry fund in a default option. I want control over the franking credits. Don't get that in a default option with an industry fund. And I want choice and flexibility when I want to buy an asset. Depending on the investment menu, you may or may not get that depending on the fund. And people go, ooh, you don't like those. And I come back to, a mini's not going to pull a horse float. We're not saying it's good. We're not saying it's bad. it just may not be right for you. Someone else might say, I don't really care. I don't care how I fund my retirement. I don't want to have to think about it, and I don't want advice. Beautiful. Here's an industry fund. It is perfect for you. Again, doesn't make it good, doesn't make it bad, but makes it right for your situations. So I'd be looking at my super fund and saying, do I have a really good investment menu? I.e., do I have a lot of choice? Can I buy listed shares? Can I buy exchange-traded funds or ETFs? Can I buy converting preference shares? Can I buy specialized managed funds? What are my term deposit options? What are my insurance options? Do I have multiple providers? Do I have one provider? So do I have choice? If your current fund doesn't offer you that, then maybe look at another fund. Doesn't mean the one you're in's bad. It's just not right for you. You might look and say, well, how much risk am I carrying? Because the default view of good and bad for most people is performance. Has it done a lot? Has it done a little? Now, if you take on more risk, you should get more reward. So if you look at your fund and you say, I'm in balance fund A, and let's say balance fund A is running 76% in growth assets, I can guarantee you it will outperform balance fund B, who is running 50% in growth assets. So if you want to talk about what's good, what's bad, first you need to measure fairly and equally how much risk does this fund have, how much fund does fund B have. And I say in my office, if you're driving 140 kilometres an hour in a 100 zone and you're in exactly the same car driving 100 kilometres in a 100 zone, car B is not going to beat you to the destination. It's physically impossible. So it's almost physically impossible to compare the two funds if they're driving at different speeds or have different asset allocations. So consider the risk you're happy to take on and then find a profile that is in line with that risk. But don't assume that the label of balanced, for example, means the same thing in different funds.
Well, the other side of that speed analogy you just used, talking about driving 140 kilometres per hour in a 100 zone, the relevance there, of course, is that that's a more risky proposition.
Correct.
You run the risk of perhaps 100%. Running off the road or running into trouble with the law.
Yep.
And so if you're taking an approach with your investment fund, your superannuation fund, where you're taking more risk, that means, yes, the rewards could potentially be greater, but they might also be worse because they might run off the road.
100%. And I say often, more often than not in my meetings, can you talk your way out of a ticket if you're doing 160 in a 100 zone? And the funny, you know, the funny thing is, I love this one. Most guys go, no. Most wives go, well, back in the day I could.
Yes.
And then most husbands go, yeah, babe, way back in the day. You couldn't now. Mm. But there's my point. If you're going to take on that risk, you can't look at an officer and say, oh, I'm just over the speed limit. If you get done doing 105 in a 100 zone, yep, you've got every right to be upset. At 160, you're in all sorts.
Yeah.
And that is exactly the example when it comes to volatility, because the flip side is the same. If you did 40 kilometres an hour down Gungahlin Drive at 8:30 on a Monday morning, you'd either be in an accident, someone would be in your boot, or they'd be hurling water bottles at you for not, you know, being in the racing lane. So that's being too conservative.
Yeah. Now, the other element of that, of course, is that when people talk about is this a good fund, the first thing they tend to think about is what's the return?
Correct.
But, of course, to put that into context, you also have to consider what's the risk.
And that's exactly my point here. You need to look and understand the amount of risk you're taking on for the options that you have, because the second measure of everybody's belief system is cost. Is it cheap? Well, when on earth was anything cheap the best available product? As a general rule, it doesn't happen. You have to pay for quality. And what people miss here is, oh, well, my fund doesn't charge an admin fee. Okay, but what's the cost of the investment you're in? Now, that's called an ICR, or an internal cost ratio. And if you're in the balanced fund, the high growth fund, the this fund, the that fund, or the Fidelity Australian Equity Fund, there's a cost to be in those investments. So whilst you might look at a fund and say, oh, there's no admin fee, mine's cheap, you might have a 2% ICR. Now, AMP were notorious for doing this for years. Oh, we don't charge an admin fee. But then they gouge people sideways in the internal cost ratio because it's harder to find in the reporting. So you've got to look at your costs and say, for what I am getting value-wise, is it good? You know, there's a certain fund that people use here in the ACT that only has four investment options and is far from cheap. And they say, well, is it a good fund? And I say, well, no, I don't believe it is, because the performance is substandard, the investment choice is substandard, the control is substandard. Just because it's a default fund for a certain area of employment doesn't make it good. So I think people have to look at it with that lens and not the individual characteristics that they may assume make up a good fund. Because otherwise every car on the road would be a good car, but we all don't look at the same value the same way.
We certainly don't. It's around about 12 to 5 now on 2CC. Luke Smith from Envision Financial is with me in the studio. Today we're asking, what makes a superannuation fund a good one? Turns out it's a complicated answer. Mm. We'll be back with more in a moment. Well, it's about 7 minutes to 5. It's a Friday afternoon, and of course that means that Luke Smith is visiting the studio this afternoon to tell us all about some financial matters, and today we're talking about what makes a superannuation fund a good fund. So, Luke, where are we at? I think it's about time to go over some key points, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Look, as we touched on before the ad break, I think the important things for people to keep in mind is, how do you value good and what is good for you? Not what's good for the ladies at work, not what's good for the lads at golf. What do you want in a super fund? Just like you would do when you're buying a car. What are the features I want? I'd be looking for the ability to generate a really strong income stream, because I find people's attitude towards their fund and their structure and their priorities change. Whilst you're working, an industry fund, personal super fund, whatever fund you have, great. People then come to me and say, I'm really worried about the income it's going to generate, because that's going to pay me a pension and fund my lifestyle. And I find that shift of priorities occur leading into, okay, I'm done and now I need to draw on this thing. So it's very different from accumulation to pension. I think you want to have a very good investment menu. You want to be able to hold some ETFs or exchange traded funds, some specialized managed funds, some converting preference shares, individually held listed shares. So if you want to go out and buy CBA, Macquarie, whoever, you can. Some funds will let you, others will just let you buy an index.
Those are both very expensive shares right now.
Very much so, yes. I wouldn't be racing out buying them today without a 100-year view, but that's a separate show for a separate day. Look at the internal cost ratio. What are the cost of the investment option that I'm in? Not the admin fee, the ICR, okay? What does that balanced option, growth option, or that managed fund cost me? Because I had a guy in this week who had a diversified portfolio of managed funds that he could have replicated at 0.75% less and had the same return, but the fund that he was in didn't offer ETFs. So you're talking 0.75% on $500,000. That's over $3,000 a year in unnecessary admin fees and costs. Think about what you want from your fund. Would I want to be able to run multiple pension accounts from my fund? If the answer is yes, then a self-managed super fund might be right for you. If you want to be able to reset the taxable and tax-free components to avoid tax for your children, then you want to be in a fund that gives you the flexibility to do that. Now, you can't do that in an industry fund without selling assets. You can in a self-managed super fund. So there are two strategic differences between those two types of funds. Doesn't mean one's better than the other, but again, a mini's not going to pull a horse float. I'd also then look at, what are the admin services and the technology of the fund you're in? Some fund providers and some retail funds have horrible tech. Others have wonderful technology, really useful phone applications, and really simple ways for you to view and have transparency across your portfolio. But also then think, well, if I'm going to maintain some insurance, do I have a really good investment insurance menu? Do I have two or three key providers, or am I just stuck with this particular provider? So think about the things that are important to you, because that becomes your measure of good, not just performance and not just cost, because you need to compare similar cars driving at similar speeds, i.e. what's the risk profile of the fund I'm in? What's the risk profile of another option? And start there. Don't compare labels, because balanced does not mean balanced in a uniform approach.
So it's time now to find out where can listeners get more information.
Yeah, if you're not sure, 6260-4749. We've got envisionfinancial.com.au on the internet. We've got the strategy stacker Luke Talks Money on iTunes and Spotify. We've got Envision Financial Canberra on YouTube, where you can get all of the shows and the back catalogue of everything. We've got TikTok. We've got the handle there, the strategy stacker. We've got shorts on YouTube. And it's all in Smart Money Strategy, your ultimate guide to financial planning, where there's an entire chapter on costs and comparisons.
The best-selling book, available in all good bookstores.
Correct.
Indeed. Luke, thanks very much.
See you next week.